Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. We hope today's worship service and message bring you inspiration and comfort. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
On this Christ the King Sunday, let us never forget that our King is not an earthly king. The one we call King in every aspect has been tested in the same ways that we are, yet remains without sin. Christ our King is the fullness of compassion and mercy. Christ, our King, is the epitome of justice and love. So therefore, we can freely and boldly approach the throne of grace so that we will receive the mercy and find the grace that we need, the amazing grace and the unending love. Trusting in that, let us confess our sins. Loving God, for expecting too much, for expecting too little, forgive us. For making easy promises and failing to keep them, loving God, forgive us. For hasty words and thoughtless actions, for easy answers and careless thinking, loving God, forgive us. For avoiding the hurt of the world and ignoring the needs of others, loving God, forgive us. Help our worship be ascending and strengthening and not just an escape from reality. We pray as Jesus invites us to. hear the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the certainty of God's wide welcome and never-ending mercy, know that we are forgiven. God has poured out love upon us, and we have received forgiveness for our sin, and we can live in peace. So may mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And let us also share that same peace that we have in our forgiveness with one another. Peace of Christ be with you. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah writes, "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba as in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." This is surely the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson today is two portions of the fourth chapter of Mark, a couple of verses at the beginning, and then we move down to the end of the chapter. Hear now God's word for God's people. "Again, he," Jesus, "began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables." And now at the end of the chapter, "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And waking up, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Be silent, be still.' Then the wind ceased, and there was dead calm. And Jesus said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. The community pool in my hometown was the Memorial Day to Labor Day hub of action for children and young people. It is a place where my siblings and I learned how to swim, taking swimming lessons from high school students over those summer breaks that seemed to stretch forever in those years. And it was through these lessons that I learned that I don't have a very buoyant body, and that being on the swim team was not going to be part of my future. During my junior high years, the pool was the summer hangout place. It was where I got to talk with and goof around with friends in the absence of parents, while still having the safeguard of the lifeguards there to watch over us and make sure we didn't do anything too crazy. The pool was shaped like a capital T, with the main body being about 50 yards long and had enough lanes in it that there could be 8 lanes of swimmers for a swim race. And the crossbar of the T was obviously wider than the main body, but not as long, maybe only 10 yards long, top to bottom. It was known as the deep end because the water there was some 12 to 15 feet deep, with diving boards, one high, one low, on either end of the deep water. Now, touching the pool, the bottom of the pool, in the deep end, was the ultimate challenge for junior high teenagers, serving as kind of a rite of passage or a mark of coolness all at the same time. Those attempting this challenge could enter the water from the side, jump off the side, or just swim down from the side, or they could jump off one of the boards, get the assistance of that energy to try and reach the bottom. I have no memory of why it seemed to be such an exciting challenge to touch the bottom of the pool. It may have been because it was kind of a scary thing to do. For the deep water of the deep end of the pool felt a little bit mysterious and certainly uncontrollable if you didn't swim very well, and it was therefore frightening, all the things teenagers, I think, are sometimes drawn to. All this despite the water being clear enough that you could actually see the bottom of the pool. I remember the internal chaos that I felt every time I tried the touch the bottom challenge. I was surprised that my lack of buoyancy didn't work to my advantage here and that I didn't sink more quickly. But the deeper I swam, I found that my lungs began to ache and my ears began to buzz with pain, and there was this sense of panic that just blossomed in me. I can vaguely recall maybe succeeding in touching the bottom of the deep end once or twice. But my dominant memory of those attempts was the inner physical and emotional chaos and the fear I was experiencing that something might go wrong, that a lifeguard would have to save me or they'd just find me floating down there. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, which is not our gospel lesson for today, but is the scriptural text upon which our current sermon series and our 2025 stewardship appeal is based, goes like this. I just want us all to hear these words again. When he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch," because Jesus had been on a boat again, was out in the water again. And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but we have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. Two Sundays ago, we explored how Jesus' invitation to potential disciples is always an invitation to trust. An invitation to trust Jesus, and in an invitation to trust fellow disciples with whom community is shared. An invitation to trust that God will always work God's purposes out, even when such working out seems like something impossible to us, even when such working out seems terrifying to us. Last Sunday, we explored the importance of disciples fully committing themselves to Jesus, us fully committing ourselves to Jesus. For Jesus does not invite us to try on his ways and teachings for just a little bit to see if we like them, to see if we find them doable without much effort on our part, to see if they don't interfere with things that we'd really rather be doing. Jesus invites us to commit ourselves to him and to the purposes and the priorities of God completely and without hesitation. Sure, we can and must ask questions about our commitment, and we can and must think imaginatively and creatively about this commitment. And there will be times in our humanness when we stumble and fall in this commitment. But once we've answered Jesus' invitation with the commitment of our life, we must be all in with maximum effort, no exceptions. Today, this brief series of sermons concludes as we explore Jesus' expectation that we will go deep in our discipleship. Understanding the nature and dimensions of such deepness is, however, often more challenging and elusive than we care to acknowledge. The main part of today's gospel lesson takes place on the sea with Jesus and his disciples on a boat in the midst of a storm. Now, in the Gospels, seas and large bodies of water are always noted for being deep. And deep water is both a description of what the water truly is, as well, I believe, as a metaphor for the mysterious and dangerous unknown that is to be feared. What we in our humanness don't know and can't see and therefore can't imagine, like deep, dark water, quickly becomes that which we are afraid of. What we don't know, who we don't know, what we don't see, who we don't see, these are the things that are the stuff of our nightmares, the things of which we fear. In our Old Testament lesson, this same unknowing and fear is understood in the waters that the prophet Isaiah tells the people of Israel that they must pass through on their long journey as they travel from Babylon back home to Jerusalem after exile and release. Jesus and Isaiah understand that deep water is just a part of life. That deep water is a physical barrier, but that it is also an emotional barrier with which human beings, every one of us, must deal on a regular basis. Jesus also sees deep water as a place where creative faithfulness is born, where creative faithfulness is sustained. For Gospel writer Mark tells us that Jesus sleeps as the boat which he occupies with the disciples crosses over the deep water. Jesus sleeps while the disciples watch a distant squall suddenly come closer and closer and overtake their boat. Jesus sleeps while his disciples rapidly embrace a full-blown panic, fearful that the deep water will soon be on top of them and soon be the end of them. Jesus sleeps until fearful disciples awaken him with the demand that he must do something. And it is a sleepy Jesus who looks at the chaos around him and says to the deep water, as well as to the panicked disciples, and I think the panicked disciples are the ones that need to hear it most, Jesus says to both these groups, be silent, be still, be silent, be still. And in the silent stillness which follows, Jesus points out to his friends that even after all they have seen and done in their time with him, they're still controlled by fear and faithlessness, still not convinced that God has them, that God is taking care of them, still unable to embrace the creative potential of deep water. One of Jesus' most consistent messages to his disciples, including us, is the phrase, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid because God is watching over us and will protect us as we move in the directions and toward the people and the situations toward which God is calling us. Do not be afraid to do the things God wants us to do, God has equipped us to do, God expects us to do. Do not be afraid of the deep waters of life where we cannot see the bottom and appear to be a long way from anywhere safe and are subject to the chaos that such waters contain. Waters like interim time. Do not be afraid to go deep, for the deep places are precisely those places in life where God meets us. The deep places in life are precisely where God helps us to discover internal strength and faithful imagination that we do not know we possess. The deep places in life are precisely where God gifts us with hope, hope in such abundance, hope which carries us through every challenge and obstacle and provides us the tools to give others to do the same that they may also live and hope. These are things we do not discover about ourselves individually or collectively as a community, as a church, unless and until we are willing to go deep. The stewardship of our gifts and talents and financial resources is one of those places where Jesus encourages us to be fearless and to go deep, inviting us again and again and again to not be afraid and to go deep in using the resources with which God has so abundantly blessed us, using our spiritual and our financial resources for building up and sustaining God's creation, for building up and sustaining God's beloved community here at TAB and everywhere we journey and everyone we journey with and journey to. Going deep in trust versus only taking care of our present day needs and the needs of our egos. That's what Jesus invites us to. Isaiah, who is certainly one of the foundations for Jesus' emphasis on fearlessness, Isaiah reminds us that God is always with us, that God never forsakes us, particularly in the deep water, the mysterious and dangerous water that forever threatens to overwhelm us. Now, even though we may not be as buoyant as we'd like to be, as we imagine ourselves to be, as people of faith, as disciples of Jesus, our invitation is always to go deep in Jesus, to go deep without fear, to go deep in trust, because God has us. God has us. And we do not need to fear. Amen.
Friends, would you stand, please, and join in the affirmation of faith, proclaiming some of that which we believe. We believe that we worship one God, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, in whose image we are made, to whose service we are summoned, and by whose energy we are renewed. We believe that central to Jesus' mission is respecting the earth as God's possession, rejoicing in the diversity of human culture, preserving human life in all its beauty and frailty, and witnessing to the love of God for all people and places. We believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the persecuted shall be lifted up, the wicked shall stumble, the hesitant prayers and hidden actions of God's people shall change the course of human history, and the ancient words of Scripture shall startle us with fresh insight. We believe God has called the church into being to help God's beloved community emerge, to be a sign of God's new order, and to offer a foretaste on earth of the magnificence of heaven. We believe that Jesus invites us to be one despite our differences, and we commit ourselves afresh to the love of God, the way of Jesus, and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. If you can't join us in person, many of our beautiful worship services are live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the service times and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at this same time for Sunday with Tab.